Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
To Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. You can read more about that at turnerstake.com and also this podcast. I'm also a broker here at Daniels. I work with online traders, broker assisted. I have a great hybrid service option for those who want to trade online and also have a broker. I work with speculators and hedgers. We cover a lot in the grains, energies, and livestock, but also all the macro markets too. If you want to know more about me, all my contact information is in the show notes on these podcasts. And if you're a speculator, you can go to turnerstake.com. If you're a farmer, you can go to turnerstakeag.com. Feel free to contact me anytime. So this is going to be focusing real quick on the macros. I'm going to jump into the grains, and that'll end a little bit in livestock, and that'll be it today. So first, on the macro side, we did see the stock market rally today. And it was because the Fed basically came out and said, if the economy gets in trouble and needs some help, the Fed will accommodate. So there we go. We were getting down to, what, 8 or 9% down in the Dow and probably similar numbers in the S&P. And we'll see what happens. So I think that's going to help ease the market. I don't think we're going to go back to the old highs right now. But I do think that if the Fed is now basically changing its tune and realizes we're in a trade war and it'll do what it can, I think that could be supportive, so at least stabilize, I would think, in the stock market. So we'll see how that goes and see what investors think of that. It'll be interesting to see if we continuation the uptrend from today and get a reversal or a breakthrough through the most recent bearish trend lines. I still like the stock market, and I like, you know, whether if you have a 6 or 7 figure account, you want to buy the E-minis. But, you know, if we're talking, you know, you have a 4 or 5 figure account, you got the micros there. And it's a nice way to kind of build a position in the stock market. So that would be something I'd be taking a look into. You know, we always want to see a turn. I mean, I like averaging down on equity indices if we're using, you know, the smaller contracts or, you know, we're not using a whole lot of equity. We're not leveraged up on it. But on something like this, this could be supportive. So I would, we'll be taking a look at that too. So anyways, just want to say that that's the macro note. Let's dive into what I really want to talk about here is the grain markets. So we've been consolidating in the grain markets. We had what people would have thought, and I agree, a bullish report yesterday on crop planting progress, where corn was, I want to say, at 69%. They were looking for like the 70s, low 70s. And soybeans, I want to say, was 39%. They're looking for the low 40s. And, you know, we opened up higher, and then we came back. You know, we can't get through 920 for the most part, and no of beans. I think that's correct. I'll take a look at my chart real quick. No, we can't get through 454 in Dease corn. And let's see where we are. And the thing is, we're going to be range-bound. And I've been talking about this for a little while here. You know, the reason why I think we're going to be range-bound is, you know, this acreage story has been... You know, it's not 100% known, but we know we're going to lose acres. Is it going to be 5 million, 6 million, 7 million, 8 million? You know, no one really knows. The market doesn't know, but we've come up 70 cents. All right, we've come up 70 cents in corn, probably 80 cents in beans, I want to say. I would say that we've got, let's say we have 6 million acres, you know, we lose. You know, that puts us down to, what, 86.8? So I've seen the estimates of, like, 5 million to 7 million. We have, you know, yields of 170 to 165. And if that's the case, if that's what the market's thinking, then we should be in this price range. To go lower, you know, we're gonna probably have to be, you know, 187 or higher in acres, which no one thinks. We're going to probably be higher than 170 on the yield, which no one really thinks. So if that's the case, then we're, you know, $4 dies, or really probably 420, 425, maybe, you know, is going to be a real strong support, you know, for the new crop. The reason why 454 is going to be a very strong resistance is that we have nothing to go by on yield yet. Now, we can make our best guess because of how much is late planted, and you can think about yield drag, but all that is just kind of, okay, we will have yield drag, or, you know, we know that soybeans, or, you know, when you plant them early in good conditions, you know, a farmer in central Illinois can get 70 bushels an acre. You know, you plant them in not ideal conditions, and it's in, we're getting well into June, you know, maybe he's going to be expect 50 bushels an acre. So there's all these variables that go on, but the trade will not push these numbers over probably 920 NOV beans and 454 Dease corn for any length of time until we can start plugging in some real actual like numbers for yield. And that can't happen until we get crop conditions. Right now we're getting crop progress, meaning the progress on planting. Crop conditions is the ratings. Crop, that means the good to excellent and the poor to very poor. I'm hearing corn comes out next Monday, soybeans in 2 weeks. So next Monday, corn, week after that, soybeans. I'm expecting, and I think a lot of people out here are expecting, some pretty heavy poor to very poor ratings and not so great on the good to excellent. And then what's going to happen is, you know, the academics and the universities and all the researchers and the analysts and the banks are going to take that and say, you know, based on where we are and how late it is and the conditions and what the ratings are, this is where we think yield should be around. And it's a guesstimate, but, you know, we'll get those numbers. And once those come in, then the market's going to trade yield. But until we need that first flag in the ground, goalpost, whatever you want to however you want to phrase it, we need that first, that the market can start trading around that. Because right now, even though we are expecting lower yields, what we're really trading is acres and planting progress. So if we're going to go higher, I think we need to see some pretty poor numbers on crop conditions. And we got to start talking about 165 yield or lower to go the next leg higher. I think if we're talking about yields of 165 to 170, we're still range bound in these areas. That's what I think. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to include this in the newsletter later tonight, but I have some tables here where I go over acreage like 92.8, and then I take off 5 million, 87.8, then I take off 7 million, 85.8. And then for the 87.8 where we lose 5 million, I say we have a 170 yield, which is, in this environment, would be bearish, and people will probably say, you know, BS to that 170 yield, but just bear with me here. And then for the 85.8, which is 7 million acres lost, which is, I kind of think sounds right to me, between the prevent plant and if anything gets switched, what gets switched to soybeans, if anything. And the 165 yield, which seems what you're hearing about a lot by analysts and where the initial yield surveys are, which are a little bit like throwing a dart at a yield board here, and what that comes up. And what's interesting is that when you have these, a couple of things happen on the supply and demand table, which you can see. I'll add it in the show notes. One, imports start coming up. We just saw stories today of crop from South America, I believe it was Brazil, coming into the southeast part of the United States, or being booked for the southeast part of the United States, which makes sense. In places that have access to the ports or the coast that are close by, relatively close by, and where they have high basis, like the Carolinas do, right, because of all the, you know, the feed demand down there, it's going to pencil, right? It will pencil. So I was looking back. I mean, can you see imports go from 35 million bushels to 100 or 150 million bushels? I think you could. I think that's possible. It's not a lot, but it's a little bit. It helps. And then I think you also have to say, well, you know, the feed will come down some, maybe 50 million to 150 million, you know, to start off with as it goes to wheat, because there is a lot of feed wheat out there. You have to say ethanol might come down a little bit, maybe 100, 150 million bushels. What about exports? I mean, if we're at 87 million acres and a 170 yield, exports probably go from 2.3 billion to 2 billion. You know, if we're talking 85 million acres and a 165 yield, exports could be 1.8 billion, right? And then if the market keeps on going, if the acreage and the yield keeps on going lower, what's going to happen is you'll see feed start to come down a little bit more, ethanol start to come down a little bit more, exports start to come a little down a little more, imports coming in as the price, you know, of corn goes higher. But we are going to start to see that price rationing action in the balance sheet. And it has to happen, because if we do lose 6 or 7 million acres and the yield's 165, that pretty much wipes out 2 billion to 2.5 billion of corn off the balance sheets. And that's going to be our surplus, according to last WASDE. And we can't go to zero, right? We have to have, I would say, a billion, right, at this point. Maybe 1.1 billion. You know, we're not price levels to really send it that much higher, you know, above that right now, because we have global stocks available. Back in 12 and 13, did not have those global stocks available, so we had a price ration fast, right? In this case, you know, there wasn't the Brazil option of corn going into the southeast, U.S. southeast, as it is now. So that'll cap things a little bit. But it is going to be opportunities to sell. My big thing, okay, so here's the deal. The second leg of this thing, if we do get a second leg, right, if, you know, a substantial one, like where we're through 454 and going higher into the 70s, 480s, or maybe $5, which is what people want to talk about. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it does, it's going to start Monday, and it's good after this crop conditions report. If the conditions are poor and we start and it's all, and they're talking about 160 or lower on the yield, which I guess could happen. I mean, it's anyone's guess at this point. You know, we're going the next leg higher, in my opinion, right? So the way I want to position myself as we head into it, I like our hedges. I like making cash sales. You know, if, you know, it, you kind of have to do something up here, right? I like re-owning, you know, either with call spreads in December. But I also like, I don't know if you can use this as a spec play or just a short-term hedge play. You know, if you are making sales and if you want to see if, like it's today, if you sold new crop and you're like, well, you know, I don't want to spend a whole lot on calls, but I also don't want to miss out. You know, is there a way where, you know, you can kind of hedge yourself for a little while just to see if this next leg's going to happen? You can use short-dated calls. And I would, you know, whether they're a week from, you know, Monday, you know, maybe the end of next week or the end of the week prior, I think you could probably buy some calls on Monday ahead of this crop condition report. And, you know, only, you know, you try to spend a nickel. That's what I'm going to be doing in my recommendation when we do that. And I'll probably wait till Monday to do it unless something really changes with the corn market or if we get a big, or if we get another big down day. But what I do want to see is, you know, those some kind of call for like 5 cents or something like that. And then if the good to excellent ratings are poor and the poor to very poor ratings, you know, are high, you know, we could blow through that 454 area. So that's what I'm thinking. Again, I don't mind making sales up here, some sales, and replacing them with some kind of cheap, very short dated calls. I have no problem with longer time, you know, call spreads either. If you want to go DEES $4.50, $5, or, you know, DEES $5, $5.50s, you can use the short dated options in DEES that you know, the September ones that expire in August. Because, you know, this you know, corn, if there's an acreage issue and a yield issue, probably that gets played out by mid-July, right? So maybe you can use the August options that are based on the December price that expire at the end of July. So there's a lot of ways to do it. I'll have some ideas at the end of this week and at the beginning of next. If we're going to do the longer term stuff, we'll put it out this week. But for the report specifically on Monday, I'll put that out probably Sunday night or the first thing Monday morning. I'll be in Turner's Take Ag Marketing. But that's what it's going to be. It's going to be basically, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we started to go up big because the crop progress, the planting progress was poor, and it was wet in the forecast for weeks, and that's when that rally started. If we're going to see a second part of this rally where the funds, basically, funds are short, then they got flat. If we're going to have now a case where the funds basically go from flat to some serious length, it's going to be because of the yields. It's not going to be the acres. It's going to be the yields, and it starts, if that's a story, that's potentially a story, and if it does happen, I really think that's going to happen Monday on the first crop conditions report. I really can't stress that enough. So that's how I want to set myself up. As far as soybeans go, I've done some different scenarios too. 84.6 is what they're calling for in the WASD with a 49.5 yield. No one's really believing that. So what I did is I said, what if we have 83.6 million acres? We have 82.6. I can see that happening. What if we lose 2.5 bushels? What if we lose 5 bushels? I'm on the fence of like 83 million acres. I'm around 83 million acres, 45 yield. But again, so difficult to tell. But if we do, we can start, you know, we're going to bring in about $1 billion on the ending stocks. We're not going to import any. You know, production really comes down a good 600 million in my most bullish scenario. The thing is, though, that just gets us to 450 ending stocks. Now, there's nothing wrong with 450 ending stocks. And this is not touching crusher exports, by the way. I've not done any price rationing. 83 million acres and about a 45 million acre yield. 45 yield. Keeps crush the same, keeps exports the same, no price rationing, ending stocks are about 450, which to me means, old crop in the mid to high nines, new crop 10. You still have a carry in the market because you're not tight, but you're kind of getting there. You know, when you get below 400, you know, into that 300 range, you do go from a carry to an inverse in the soybean market because you're now under 10% stock to usage. But that's where we are. So, you know, so soybeans still have potential, but probably not like corn, because if the corn yields really start coming down, we're already in price rationing mode. We're already there. We're already in the price rationing mode. We need to have 83 million acres and a 45 yield just to start even thinking about the process of price rationing. So just to give you an idea, and the reason for that is, one, soybeans have massive stocks, just massive stocks, where corn had a lot less room for error. And, you know, two, it's just like with corn, also, we do have plenty of beans around the world. We do have this situation with China and the trade war, which, you know, it doesn't help us either. And also African swine flu. So, you know, if you're sitting there wondering why corn isn't at $6 and beans aren't at, you know, $10 or something like that, that's it. So hopefully when you see those tables, it'll give you a little bit better idea of, you know, where we are with these, you know, with these crops. So heading into the soybean report, see, what's interesting is, like, let's say next week we get some bad readings on the crop ratings, and, you know, corn starts to really take off. Not saying it's going to happen, but it could. You know, soybean ratings aren't going to be until next week. You know, does the market start getting ideas of corn ratings are this bad? Soybeans will be too. So do we want to buy the soybean calls just in case, you know, on Monday also, or do we wait the next week, you know, to see if there's kind of a repeat? That's a tough one to figure out. I'm going to have to think on that a little bit. I do like Nov beans. I mean, if we're going to run here, Nov should go higher. We're like a 35 cent carry or 30 cent carry. You know, new crop beet corn, Deese is like, I want to say it's 20 over. It's been over anywhere between, it's been like 15, 20, 25 over, which just goes to show you price rationing now has to happen in corn. We're not there yet with beans, but if we do, then we're going to an inverse in Nov. So that could be another way to do it if you don't want to buy some of the short-dated options, because let's face it, soybean options kind of tend to get a little expensive. So maybe the Nov spread is the way to try to do it. And then we've got that other story going around, you know, is what's going to happen with Prevent Plant and the aid package. And we're hearing more and more about, you know, farmers, instead of getting 55% on what they don't plant in Prevent Plant, it could be 70%, which is really a game changer in terms of the acres. So, or I think it could be. I think it could be. I can't say that for sure, but seems like a lot of people agree with that sentiment too. So that's how we're going to be positioning ourselves. I've also been getting asked questions. So whether you're a hedger or on the spec side, I think that's a good way to look at the grain markets going forward. For the farmers out there, they've been asking about selling 20 and 21, you know, corn and beans. Beans, I don't know. I kind of like both, more so corn right now than soybeans. Let's see the soybean picture play out a little bit. But, you know, the thing is, if corn keeps on going higher, it's really going to be the new crop, the old crop and the new crop, you know, Deese 19, you know, July and September 19, going to be doing the heavy lifting. Deese 20, Deese 21 are going to get left behind. They'll go up incrementally, but this is all going to be about price rationing this year to shut off demand. And honestly, 420 Deese 20 corn is going to encourage acres anyways, right? So, you know, you don't have to go higher to encourage acres next year, I don't think. You're going to plant, if you can see 420 corn, you know, in DEES 2020, I mean, there's going to be guys penciling some corn acres and maybe making some sales there. So I don't think it has to go higher right now for those far back months. And honestly, it could be a good sale because we're going to have a lot of acres next year in corn. I really think we are. We're going to have a lot of acres next year in corn, and we're going to have a lot less soybeans. I mean, I can see us being 95 to 100 next year in corn, and I can see us sub 80 in soybeans next year. I really can, especially if this U.S.-China trade war keeps up and Brazil and South America keep on adding soybean acres the way they are. So, you know, we'll start getting into that too. That is too long-term for a spec trader, but definitely in the wheelhouse for a farmer. As far as livestock goes, we do tend to make seasonal lows this time of year. We did hear some reports of mad cow disease in Brazil. I think that's why we had the spike today. You know, if that's the case, I mean, China was going to buy their protein and their beef from South America, from Brazil. Does this change things? I mean, do they have to come to the United States now? That's going to be, it's one report, one case. That's all I know, but that's going to be interesting. That's something to take an eye on, keep an eye on too. And considering how much cattle's gotten beat up here, looks interesting. It looks interesting on the chart. And same for the hogs. You know, we're getting to a place here where, you know, we start to see rallies in hogs. I do think there's some headwinds because of the whole China thing, but African swine flu, the seasonal demand for pork, you know, and the fact that it has come down pretty good, you know, it should be interesting. Now, higher grain prices do tend to send cattle lower. I mean, that's usually the relationship, unless grain prices get so high that you can't feed the herd and you got to cull it. And that, we saw that happen about 5 or 6 years ago. But normally, higher feed prices, as long as you have enough feed to feed livestock, will bring those prices down for the livestock in general. That's the old ratio anyways. So that's where we are at that. So we're about 20 minutes into this podcast. I just want to reiterate here, I'm not going to go into energies today, but I do keep an eye on that stock market story and the Fed. That could be the stabilization, which would be good for the stock market and all the markets. To stabilize the stock market helps other things out too. That Monday report for the crop ratings, I think is going to be very important. I want to be positioned ahead of it. Take a look at the newsletter or give me a call. We've got between now and Monday's close to do that. Same thing with soybeans. The wheat market here, we didn't get too heavy into the wheat, but that's more of a Russian story right now. And also, there's two stories going on with wheat. I'm not going to get heavy into it, but there is some quality concerns out west because of all the rain, but then the crop conditions came in yesterday and they're better than expected. And for a while, it was pretty dry and hot in Russia and Ukraine, but they finally got some rain, so we saw the market back off today. And then we got the livestock. So everyone have a great week. It's going to be busy. I know I've had some of the couple of busiest weeks of the year, you know, of my year have been the past 2 or 3 weeks. So if you don't hear from me, please give me a call, you know, or reach out, or if you have my cell, text me. I'm happy to talk anytime and even during the after hours, because that's usually what happens this time of year. And have a great week. If you need something, let me know. Otherwise, I'll try to get to you, but please feel free to reach out anytime. Have a great rest of the week. I'll be writing a lot, and hopefully farmers, you can get your crop in, and things work out for you yield wise. All right, have a great week, everyone. Talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation termination or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.